today on Anchored in the Word.
You know yourself, there's been other people where they said the same thing about, right? And I think what it all comes down to is, first of all, for the church, we're not going to need to know this. We're not going to be there. And we are to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. We want our time to be consumed with seeking after and following after Him, coming to know Him, becoming acquainted with Him, not the Antichrist, right? I mean, He's going to come. He's going to come onto the scene and everything else, but we don't plan on being here.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Pastor Bill speaks in today's message about the 7 years of tribulation. There will be judgment and wrath upon the earth, and people will be deceived by the beast. Yet one will only go through this anguish if they've rejected Jesus. So we're called to be committed to Christ and to be looking for Him for our direction. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with part one of his message entitled Beauty and the Beast.
If you'd open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, we are right in the midst of a seven-year period, probably near the middle of a seven-year period that's going to happen on the earth in the future. It's called the tribulation period. It's a seven-year period. And about where we are in the book of Revelation, about halfway, about the halfway point, 3.5 years in, it will be separated into 2 3.5-year units, prophesied in the book of Daniel and other places in the Word. And it's an important time because it's a time that's been prophesied about when God is going to eradicate evil. It's His plan to eradicate the evil in the world. After the seven-year period, that's when Christ is going to return. He's going to come back and set up His kingdom, a thousand-year millennial reign. There's going to be peace there. There's going to be joy there. There's not going to be any rebellion there. Devil's going to be chained in a deep pit for that period of time, that thousand-year reign. Christ is going to have His reign. It's set up in Jerusalem. The Bible says that His people, the Christians that had been raptured out of here and the ones that had died before, will be now ruling and reigning with Him in that government. And it's going to be what we always wanted life to be. But it's even going to get better than that. But at that time, it says in the millennial reign, after the return of Christ, that the child will be able to reach and play with a cobra. I mean, there won't be any more, you know, any more poisonous bites, or the animals won't be afraid of people anymore. The animal lovers are going to have it great. You know, you can, you know, walk up to a lion and pet a lion and or whatever else. And there'll just be peace there because Christ will be in His proper place. Yes. Now, but you see, there's something that needs to happen between where we are now and what I just talked about. There's something needs to happen, and it's going to happen here on earth, and it's going to be called the tribulation period where God's going to judge. He's going to pour out His wrath on sin and deal with sin. And you don't want to be there. That's the message. You know, you do not want to be a part of that, and you don't have to be a part of that tribulation period. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know that what's going to start that is the rapture of the church, when it says in Thessalonians it will be snatched up. The believers in Christ will be snatched away, and that seven-year period will start. And then those that Christ-rejecting world will be dealt with. Those that rejected Christ will be dealt with. Now, some people will come to Christ in the tribulation period. Some people will come to Christ in the tribulation period. But there would be a huge price to pay for that. They will lose their lives. But in that time, those that come to Christ will lose their lives for their faith in Christ. That's what it's going to be like then. So you want to escape that. And how you escape that is by having Jesus as your Savior, by believing in Him. And that's the message of the Bible. God's love from the beginning to the end. It's receive Jesus, receive my son, receive the love I have for you. It's a simple message. It's a loving message. And some people receive and a lot of people reject. And what we're going to see this morning, what we're going to look at this morning in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, is really what's going to happen, or I should say, those that reject Christ, this is the person that they're going to be with. Now, he's somewhat disguised. You know, he's called the dragon, and then there's going to be a beast, two beasts in this chapter, and a dragon talked about. Some call it an unholy trinity. These three, they're going to be deceiving, but behind it all is going to be the dragon, Satan himself, is the one that's seeking to draw people away from God, to draw people away from Jesus. And what we see in chapter 13 is this unholy trinity, and those people that the Christ-rejecting people are going to spend eternity with him. It's going to be a sad thing. It's going to be a horrific thing because God doesn't want that. He wants them to spend eternity with him. So I've entitled this message, Beauty or the Beast? Beauty or the Beast? Because again, beauty is Jesus. He's the one that's been portrayed in the Bible. We saw him in the first chapter of Revelation, the resurrected Christ in all his beauty. And he's crying out to everyone, to whosoever will believe, come to me. I've died for your sins. I've done everything that you can, everything that I could possibly do. You have to receive me. It's up to you. And the ball's in everyone's court. And he's still calling people to come to himself. But sadly, not everybody's going to do that. And what we see in chapter 13 is what the other side has to offer. And there's only two sides to be on in this life. And some people have it worked out. There's all kinds of different sides. No, there's only two, really. You're either with God or you're against God. You're with God or you're with Satan, whether you realize it or not. I know a lot of people wouldn't know. An atheist, for example, well, I'm not. I don't even believe in Satan. That may be what your case, but if that means you're not believing in God, that means you're with him. There's two sides only. And so we get to see chapter 13, the other side. And we can line it up to Jesus. Look what it says in verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Now, who is I? It's talking about John, the Apostle John. He's writing there on the Isle of Patmos. And remember, this is important because of chapter 13, just to be reminded of this, it says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Remember that at the beginning? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then it says God showed him these things, took him up, showed him heaven. He's been up there for a while. Now he's seeing some things on earth. But remember this, that John's in the Spirit, and it's important for us to understand that. And I think as we look at this chapter 13, it'll help us a little bit and interpret some of the things that are being said. He says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, probably on the seashore, and I saw a beast. I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now, before I get into trying to figure out what does that mean and what does that mean, the heads and the crowns, and I want to say this to you. He's seeing this in the Spirit, but I say this to say that we're getting to see this now because we believe this book and we're taking a spiritual view of what's kind of behind the scenes view of Satan and what and the manifestation he's going to have there in the tribulation period. But I want to say this about it first and foremost. This is grotesque. Something with seven heads and 10 horns, and we don't know it doesn't even match. If it was 10, 7, and 7, you got one horn probably on each head and somewhat uniform. But here we got seven-headed beast with 10 horns, and we don't really know. Maybe one head, there was a main head and had 10 horns on it. We don't really know. So it's not even uniform. It's 10 and 7, but the idea is it's grotesque. Something with that many heads, it's a beast, it's grotesque. I mean, that's the thing that I see first and foremost, and it should be that way, because eternity apart from God is grotesque. It's the worst thing. As a matter of fact, it's worse than you could ever imagine. I'm sure it's worse than we could ever imagine, and I think God wants us to think of it that way, you know, try and let us know that it's not a good thing, and we see this. Now, let's look into this for a second. This is the same, by the way, this beast. It goes back to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision of four. He sees four beasts. This will be the fourth one. They line up pretty good, actually, this beast here and that last beast, which is talking about the last remaining empire in the world that will be happening during the seven-year millennial reign. Daniel speaking to empires. This is speaking to the seven. Some people believe that's talking about the seven-headed animals, talking about the seven, the continents could represent the world. But the 10 crowns, most people with the crowns on them, the 10 horns with crowns, speak to people that are in power somewhere on the earth, a powerful group of people, 10 people. And people through time have looked around and said, okay, it's the European Union when it first started, and it could be 10 people there or whatever. I think it's maybe coming out of Europe. Whatever the case is, some speculation on for sure who it is, where it is, and I think we maybe spend a little bit, maybe too much time on these kinds of things because we really don't know. That's the key. What we do know that this is going to happen. There's going to be a one-world government. There's going to be a one-world religion. These things are coming onto the scene, and probably the table's being set now. Never before in our history, right, have we been at a place where we're seeing the world seemingly shrinking, where the possibility, even in our nation, where people are wanting to give up their sovereignty, their national sovereignty, and make it into a one-world entity, and maybe under the guise of course it will be, for money, because we'll have to solve some world problems. We'll have to all kind of throw in with this one-world government. But this is a beast, and it's grotesque. And it says that on its heads, a blasphemous name. Now, that's evil speaking, and more specifically, evil speaking of God. Speaking evil about God, blasphemy. He's opposed to Christ. He's opposed to God. Now let's see a little bit more about this beast. He says, now the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So we see, first of all, that he's got some power. He's got some authority, this person, and he's been given a throne. And we know when we speak of the word dragon, we back up to last week, and what we looked at last week, it's the devil. Satan himself has empowered this guy. Whether he's possessed in this beast, we don't know, but it's a person. We believe this is a person, but he's been given a position, he's been given some power, and he's been given great authority from Satan. And then it says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, again, if there's seven heads or seven people, whatever the case is, something happened to this in the life of this person where there was a mortal wounding, and then they were healed. They should have died, but then they lived. You know, it's interesting about this whole idea. And, you know, 666 is going to be dealt with in this chapter, that number. But it's interesting because I remember when people were trying to figure out, now, who is the beast? You know, who's the Antichrist? That's what we're talking about, the Antichrist. And so many people are trying to figure out, now, who's the Antichrist? So many people have been accused of being the Antichrist. You know, Ronald Reagan. They thought Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist. Well, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Look, six letters in his name, 666. Well, and then when the assassination attempt happened, and then his press secretary was shot in the head. Remember that? And then he lived. You're thinking, and some people are like, whoa, this is Ronald Reagan is the Antichrist. Well, Ronald Reagan is not the Antichrist, was not the Antichrist. And by the way, you know, I was looking up this word beast to try and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what people are saying, you know, on the internet. Well, I found out, you probably already knew this, that President Obama has a limousine. It's called the Beast. Did you know that? And it's quite impressive. It's 18 feet long. It's a Cadillac like you've never seen before. I saw pictures of it. The doors are about 8 or 10 inches thick. You see the Secret Service guy. I watched the pictures. I saw every one of them. They had two hands on that door as they hold the door for the president because they didn't want that baby slamming on them by accident. Seriously, that must be protocol. One hand on the top, one hand on the side. And this thing is like 5 inches of plate of the thick glass. They even keep vials or pints of his blood in that. And that sounds gruesome, but if you think about it, if he gets wounded, they need some blood. It's right there. Everything's there. They all, you know, it's unbelievable what this thing can do. But it's called the Beast. And they take it around the world when you know, it's got a 5-inch armor plate on the bottom. And whenever he goes around the world, they take that thing. They take the beast with them, and they take it in other countries, and he's fairly safe in there. You know, mortar shot hits that thing, and thing can, keeps going, you know, just keeps going. But one guy, and this is what I'm talking about, you know, if you look hard enough, you can make anybody the Antichrist if you want to. Well, you know, I read a lot of places, 18 feet long, pretty impressive, you know, 18 feet long. Well, this one person goes, yeah, it's the beast, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. And I'm like, yeah, he's got a point there. And it's called the beast. Maybe President Obama's the Antichrist. No, no, no. President Obama is not the Antichrist. I don't believe that. But you see what I'm getting at? You know yourself, there's been other people where they said the same thing about, right? And I think what it all comes down to is, first of all, for the church, we're not going to need to know this. We're not going to be there. And we are to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. We want our time to be consumed with seeking after and following after him, coming to know him, becoming acquainted with him, not the Antichrist, right? I mean, he's going to come. He's going to come onto the scene and everything else, but we don't plan on being here. He says, verse 4, I want to pick up where he says, I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. See, that's what people are looking for. Some people are just looking for something to be marveled by. They'll willingly follow. Just love that idea, just being marveled. And you know, it's interesting because there was no more marveling than Jesus when he walked the planet. Think about that. The things that he did when he walked the planet. And he could heal people. Everybody that was sick, if he prayed for them, they could heal. He would take a little bit of food and feed 5,000 people. I mean, not only that, he always had the right thing to say. He could shut people up. He could be in the midst of people that were trying to hurt him, and he could walk through right through the midst of them. He could walk right through the midst of them without anybody laying a hand on him. But you talk about somebody that was marvelous, I guess you could say, it's Jesus himself. But this, what's being given to these people, who are Christ-rejecting world at this point, think about tribulation period, the beast is going to come on and give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for. Give them a little razzle-dazzle. And they're marveling and they're following after the beast. And that's sad. And it says in verse 4, so they worship the dragon. That's right. And we look at this now. We're going to look at something. Some call this the unholy trinity. Because they worship the dragon. In other words, by following the beast, by following the Antichrist, that's what we're talking about, this Antichrist, they are worshiping the dragon. Why? Because the dragon is behind him in the same way that when you worship Jesus, you're worshiping the Father. Did you know that? When you're worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping the Father. I've had people ask me, I'm kind of concerned when I pray, you know, I just want to get this straight. When I pray in Jesus' name, sometimes I pray to Jesus and sometimes I'm praying to the Father. I said, either way is okay. Jesus said they're both one. When you worship Jesus, when you worship one, you're worshiping the other. It's okay to do that. But this is the unholy trinity. And so it says that they, as they marveled and followed the beast, it says, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now, didn't the Father give authority to Jesus? We know that's the case. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so what we see is this very powerful person. And by the way, this person is not going to be a seven-headed person that's going to come onto the scene, this grotesque-looking person. It's just going to be quite the opposite. This is going to be a good-looking person, I'm sure, with good answers. You know, that's what they look for now, right? Even in political candidates, don't they? Don't they parade them by and they have to look a certain way? And you know, some of them think they have to, not all of them, some of them think they have to act a certain way. You know, politicians have to act this way for one person. Nowadays, you know, some people are getting up there just acting, being who they are. That's good. That's a good thing. But this guy, as they're noticing who's like him, in other words, he's head and shoulders above everybody else. We believe he's going to have all the answers for a lot of the problems in the world. You know, I'll take care of the crime. Everybody has a mark. Everybody has a chip or whatever. We know where everybody's at all times. You don't have to worry about it. The government knows where you're at. So we're looking out for you. You know, you don't need guns and things like that because we know where you're at. If a crime does get committed, we know exactly who did it. You know, we'll know exactly who, you know, whatever the case is, not exactly how it's going to work, but, you know, we're getting the technology, aren't we, for all these things to happen like that? A man to come on the scene with all the answers. And so there's no one like him. Who is like the beast? And who is able to make war with him? You see, some people are looking really hard for somebody on earth just to take care of them, you know? And I know that our government, one of the things that our federal government is supposed to be doing is keep us safe, okay? That's what they're supposed to do. But listen, this is what the Bible says. Unless the Lord, you know, builds the house, the laborer works in vain. Unless the Lord's watching on the wall, the watchman watches in vain. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. Our protection comes from who we are with the Lord. That's the reality. We see that in the Bible. We see it with the nation of Israel. When you turn from him, he will turn you over to the enemy. So they're looking for somebody to help them, and all along, it's God who is their help. They're saying, this guy's big and bad. Who can make war with him? Nobody. They realize this guy can take care of us. And it says, he was given a mouth speaking great things. And of course, he's got answers. He knows just how to say the sound bites. He knows exactly how to get to people in a short period of time. When the beast speaks, everybody listens. But I want to tell you something. One of the things, if you find yourself in the tribulation period, and I hope you don't, none of you do, but if you do, just remember, I mean, you could take it in one tack. This is what you'll be seeing. There'll be this person that's on the scene. Everybody will be wanting to bow down to them. And he'll be the biggest, baddest one around. And he'll have all these answers. And a lot of people are going to think he's God. They're going to think he's God. But here's the thing. Look what it says here. He's going to be speaking with his sweet words of having answers for everything. He's going to have disdain for God. That's how you're going to know. It says, and he is going to speak blasphemy. So along with all his good answers that he's going to have, is going to be a disdain for God Almighty. Because that's what Satan has. He hates God. And he hates everybody that's made in his image. And so he was given these sweet words, but also the blasphemies were there. So if you find yourself in there and you're really seeking, just remember, because there's going to be deception, a great deception, the Bible says, it's going to come upon people. And how do you discern the truth? You got to find, you know, the word of God, but know that when they're speaking bad about God, they can't be God. They can't be for God. They're speaking bad about him. But it says, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Notice that everything that he had was given to him by somebody else. And for 3.5 years, verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. That's what we're going to see over and over and over again. When he opens his mouth, it's with blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. At this point in time, it's going to be everybody that, you know, the people that got raptured, all the people that know God are going to be with him. And so he's going to have some bad things to say about them. And some people believe, and this has got to be a truth, think about this, when the rapture happens.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.